Friends, I've invited a very special guest to share the message with us today, Michelle. She's in her last semester of seminary. She's very good, and I'll give you the advice that you've given me when I've preached. Just preach better. Just preach very well. Thank you.
Hello, friends. Good morning. So, it's been 6 months since I've been here. If you have gotten to know me a little bit, you know I'm not a morning person. So I'm still in the process of waking up. I know it's almost time for lunch, but just bear with me. Maybe by the end of that, you know, by the time this sermon is done, I'll be fully awake. So it's, as Brian said, I just started this week my last semester of seminary. Let me tell you, I did it. There were so many times I thought that I wouldn't make it. But, and I'm gonna, you know, tell you a little bit about this. But yes, I come here in front of you. Very glad that I'm here and nervous too. So, and because I'm nervous, I want to, you know, start with the more you know section. Okay. I don't know the song, but you know, the more you know. So, did you know that the root of the word healing in the New Testament, sozo, that's a Greek word, is the same as that of salvation and wholeness? So the word healing, salvation, and wholeness have the same word. The more you know. And if you happen to know more about the Bible that I do, please direct your concerns to the page of the Discipleship of the United Methodist Church, because I got this information from there. So, yes. Today we're here to celebrate a service of healing. Have you ever been in a service of healing? Yes. That is not necessarily a service of curing. Do you know the difference? Have you experienced that difference? Let me tell you, I have been in Mexico in services of healing, and crazy things happen, you know. But this is not that kind of service. This is not a service of curing. As we read in these passages, healing was an important part of Jesus' ministry, right? In the previous verses of this passage, we see that Jesus was casting spirits out of, cast a spirit out of a man. Then Jesus continued after attending the synagogue and continue on a journey of healing. This is not the only healing story that we read in Mark chapter 1. Jesus continues in a journey.
A little bit, yeah.
And that is why healing is a very important part of our tradition as Methodists, right? Our book of worship points that healing, a healing service, can provide a space in which things are possible. One of the ways of healing is the reconciliation of a human being with God. In this reunion, this reconciliation, spiritual health is enhanced, relationships can be healed, and mental and emotional balance is often restored. Have you experienced one of those things? I have. I would like to share with you my healing story. Unfortunately, it's not of a miraculous one, but in my case, it was. So last semester, last year, I got to learn from Gloria Anzaldúa. She passed away, but she still is an important figure of the Chicana theory, the Mexican-American culture. And in her book, there was a quote that really, you know, I liked it, but it made me feel like uncomfortable because there was so, like, it was a hard truth in there. It says, "The Catholic and Protestant religions encourage fear and distrust of life and of the body. They encourage a split between body and spirit and totally ignore the soul. They encourage us to kill part of ourselves." Those are hard words, right? We have heard so many times, or correct me if I'm wrong, I have heard these things, that whenever your body is hurting, oh no, you shouldn't be fixed on those things. Look at all the good things that are happening around you. Those are terrestrial things. Look forward to the celestial things. So the suffering in the heart of your body is just dismissed. There have been occasions in when our spirits and our mental health is struggling, but they can say to you, you know, you're not missing any part of your body. You have a house, you have a job, you have your family. You shouldn't be complaining about that. You have so there many reasons to be happy and grateful. Have you ever heard that in your life? I have. And just as Anzaldúa mentions, I have learned to distrust my body, what my body needs, and what my mind needs. So a year into the pandemic in 2021, when all of us were struggling, we're trying to work from home, to worship from home, I was trying to do school from home while trying to help Michaela to do school from home. It was a challenge, right? So isolation took a toll of me, and I fell into severe depression. Some days I could not leave my bed. Like, I didn't have the physical energy to put my feet out of bed. My body will ache, and I didn't know why. My joints, my knees, my head. Brain fog was part of it too. I was supposed to be reading for school, to do my assignments. I didn't process what my eyes were looking at, and I could not follow instructions. And that made me feel really bad about myself. You know, like, what's wrong with me? What's happening? So, numbness overcame my body. It was something like if my body and my mind had disconnected. You know? It was the only way I could cope with those feelings of shame, those feelings of guilt, and judgment. I learned I was experiencing burnout. I didn't know what that was, but learning about it didn't help. So it was like, yeah, I'm experiencing this. And thankfully, I have access to healthcare. I was able to find a therapist.
After months of therapy, I was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder at 36 years old. So, here, this is the face of an adult person that navigated their whole life with something they didn't know they had, and they struggled their lives doing things that other people could do, and that didn't make me feel good about myself.
You wasn't.
I understand that receiving a diagnosis, it can be difficult for many people. You know, there are things that one wishes not to hear ever in their lives. But in my case, the way that my brain works, it was like a relief. Like when I was talking to my therapist and he was like, you know, I think you might have this and this and this. And we were talking about it and we were exploring what all the symptoms or the way it manifests. And it's like those movies where you can see your life in a whole second, you know, like that happened. I could see my life in front of my eyes and all the times that I felt inadequate and all the times that I felt shame for oversharing or for, you know, being awkward and weird in front of people. And in my case, a diagnosis has been one of the greatest things I have received in my life about healing. Just as we read in this passage, those miracles didn't happen in secret, in hiding. They happen in community. Or if Jesus was alone with a person, that person went and shared with others what they have experienced. And exactly that happened to me. It didn't happen in secret. It happened with the help of other people. I loved about dispatches that said that people were carrying people to Jesus' door. And I don't know if they were carrying them like this, but in my mind, I would see them with a cart, you know, like moving people. And nobody carrying me, you know, in a, how it's called, like a wheel cart?
Wheelbarrow.
But sometimes you feel like Ephraim was carrying me, you know, in these times. And of course I knew that I was loved by Jesus, that I was loved by God, that I was loved by my family. Like I never, never, ever doubted God's love for me and my family's love for me. It wasn't that kind of depression. It was a kind of depression when you cannot love yourself for who you are. I experienced healing that day. Did I become neurotypical after receiving a diagnosis? No. No. However, when I learned that I had ADHD, the guilt I felt for all the things I thought I was doing wrong, for all the times that I withdrew myself from my family, the shame for not reaching out for help, it was no longer here. God took all of that and made me free. Well, before I saw myself as a broken, I understood that I was forming the way that I am in my mom's womb. I, just by the creator of life, you know, God knew me since before I was born, and I felt that love. This knowledge, these four letters, ADHD, helped me to acknowledge, like, allow me to feel the redemptive presence of the Spirit affirming my life as whole. I heard God telling me, I made you this way, and I love you as you are. Friends, I'm here to tell you that your bodies, your minds, your souls, they are good. Whole, and they are of sacred worth. Even if you feel bad about yourself, God loves you that way. But God doesn't want you to feel that. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My friends, one of the expressions of reconciliation is here in front of us. We have access today to that table, to Jesus' table. Jesus is telling us to come. I will give you rest. Come, my friends.